So I posted a tweet earlier, and I said, here's an idea for the Harvard Crimson. I thought of the Crimson because I had some contact with them when I was a fellow at Berkman Center, and that was part of Harvard Law School. And so I thought of sending this to some people that I know there, but I thought, you know, they're not going to listen to me. The Crimson's probably not going to listen to me either, for that matter. But I raised the question, interview some scholars at Harvard Law School and ask this question. What could a corrupt president, unrestrained by impeachment and thus the rule of law, do between now and Inauguration Day 2021? Just be creative, brainstorm, you know, throw some ideas up on the whiteboard and talk it through. I mean, have you ever considered the possibility of a president that is unrestrained by the Constitution? Because this president is not restrained by the Constitution. He doesn't care what the Constitution says. He has in his mind that he is playing a different role than what the Constitution says the president of the United States should be doing. And he's ignoring the checks and balances. And the question comes down to is like, God, it looks like Congress is going to let him do it. They're not going to get in the way of this. You know, you could have said, well, we have to wait for the Mueller report up until we got the Mueller report. It wasn't, the redactions did not interfere with what it had to say. I imagine that Attorney General Barr is pretty sure the Democrats are not going to impeach, or that it won't matter. They'll have the impeachment trial, but it'll come to the Senate. But the whole thing is that our democracy, such as it is hanging by a thread right now. And you got to know this. I mean, I wrote another tweet. I said, this is a life lesson. And I've lived this one so many times. You know, you have a friend does something nasty and unfriendly, but you value the friendship, so you let it go. You say, look, please, you can't do that anymore. You have to stop doing that. Well, they always do it again. You protest again, and they'll keep doing it. And the truth, sadly, is that the friendship was over the first time they did the nasty thing. I've had this happen with a number of friendships. And for whatever reason, something switched. I don't know what it is. You don't get to be friends with them again, so you don't get to ask what happened. In all likelihood, they probably don't even know. They probably view the circumstance completely differently, as no doubt Trump does. But one thing's for sure. Here's the next tweet. Ask yourself, is the future Trump next month, the month after, all of a sudden going to start respecting the Constitution? Or, well, no, of course not, because he didn't get impeached. Why should he pay attention to the Constitution? There's no cost in not paying attention to it. Or will he be emboldened to break it in new ways? And you have to remember, at this point, Trump has been going through an evolution here. He's learned a lot. And one thing he's learned is, I need an attorney general who is going to do what I want him to do, not what he's obligated to do under the Constitution. We're now getting a very clear idea of what an attorney general of the United States has to be, and that there's like two kinds of attorney general. One is the lawyer for the United States of America. That is really what the attorney general is supposed to be. It's a good idea. We're an important entity. You know, it's like you don't go into a complicated legal situation without having an attorney. Everybody needs to have an attorney. And the United States of America, we're not even talking about the people of the United States of America. We're talking about something even bigger than that. We're talking about the actual United States needs a lawyer. Right now, we don't have one. The lawyer for the United States is acting like the lawyer for the president of the United States. And that actually, there is a person who has that job. That's what the chief legal counsel in the White House is. And even then, that lawyer is not the lawyer for the person who's the president. He or she is the lawyer for the president, the institution, the whole thing. Yes, it includes the current president, but includes everything else about the president, the future, its past, and all of the connections that the president has with the other branches of government. So we don't have anybody protecting us now. There's nobody whose job it is, from a legal standpoint, to represent the interests of the United States. That is a very dangerous situation because, as you've heard, this is like an incredible time for civics, if you're paying attention, because we are a country of laws, not individuals. And it's a fundamental difference between a monarchy or an autocracy. These are all governments of people. No, we're a government of laws, and the people play roles according to the laws. But when they break out of those roles, and this has been going on longer than Trump, actually, then we stop being a country of laws, and we have now stopped being a country of laws. We have. It's like the friend who all of a sudden does something nasty out of the blue. The president did many things that are extremely nasty. And if is no resistance to him, and for once, our resistance is not just symbolic, it's actually real. If we don't put up the resistance, then he will keep doing it, and he'll do worse. So that's our choice. It's not a great choice. We wish we didn't have to make this choice. We wish we had a president who just saw the threat of impeachment as enough to keep him within the bounds defined by the Constitution. But we don't have that situation. Honestly, we've known we didn't have that situation since Inauguration Day in 2017. He broke the Emoluments Clause the instant he took the oath of office. He was breaking the Constitution from the beginning. But we're in a different situation now. The opposition party controls the branch of government whose job it is to start the process of removing the president. They can't finish the process, but their job is to start the process. If we don't do it, if it doesn't happen now, we've just gone off the end. Now, we will get, okay, this is something I initially had seen it as, well, this is the moment. This is where we break or we don't break. It's actually not true, because we will get more opportunities to impeach him as time goes by. Because, I mean, you know Trump, right? He's going to get up at his rallies and he's going to boast that, hey, you know, I did all this crap. That's the truth. I did it. I broke every fucking law around, okay? But nothing happened. So you know what? I'm going to keep doing it. That's Trump. Trump will do that. He will fucking do that. It's crazy, but he will. He's not going to hide the fact that he's going to keep trampling over the Constitution. He's going to say, yeah, the Constitution's good, but you know, sometimes I've got to step outside the bounds of it because, you know, I got to make America great again. I got to do all this good stuff for you, for the country, for us, for white people, for men, for assholes with bad comb-overs. Whoever it is that looks at Trump and sees themselves, unfortunately, 30% of the people, 35% of the people in the country look at Trump and they like what they see. That's really disturbing. Now, we've known that for a while. Yeah, we got to do it. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's like the friend that did the nasty thing. And, you know, I don't worry about this one anymore. If it happens, if I have a friend that does something nasty, and I say, look, you just did something nasty. And okay, there's a response that, oh, wow, you know, I didn't realize that. Oh, I get it. I'm sorry I did that, and I won't do it again. That is a person you can stay friends with. That's somebody who acknowledged that they did something bad and said they won't do it again, said they were sorry. The person who is not sorry, never says they won't do it again, is not sorry, and we'll do it again, and you'll have to deal with this again and again and again. Each time, however, I just want to add this one more thing before I go, is that each time we have to deal with a situation where he pushed it further and he pushed it further, so we're going to have to explain why we didn't do it the first time. What makes this different from that time? And, you know, that starts to get to be a little bit of a sort of what they call a slippery slope, because we can have a lot of arguments about it's not so bad. What the fuck? We'll let it go, you know? Too much trouble. We'll win the election, you know? At a certain point in time, the question will come up, but nobody will take it seriously because we just don't do it. Just like the Republicans went through this line, you know, where the Emoluments Clause, they burned right through that one. You know, they probably have discussions in Republican circles where they were saying, you know, do we really want to let this guy do this? And they go, yeah, well, you know, you want to do it? I don't want to do it. I want to run for re-election. I don't care about this. Voters aren't asking me about it. They don't care. Let's just let it go. And then, you know, you get into a situation where you let it go once, you're going to let it go again and again, and until it gets really nasty, very nasty and painful and ugly and infected and disgusting, takes you down with it. So, I don't know. It's time to, you know, it's time to decide whether we want to be this country again or whether we're just going to let it go. It looks to me like we're going to let it go. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.